regret it that I do not have a deep voice like our brother here. Beautiful bass voice. Like those old Russian bassos, you remember them? And some of them were most remarkable. They can start way down, deep bass, and go right up to high strength. You'll have to put up with me. I thank the Lord for the arrangement here, whereby you may hear me a little more. Now, some time ago, we started a study of the godly kings of Judah. We studied first Jehoshaphat. We never did finish the story of Jehoshaphat, but study it at home. Then we went on last time that we met to Asa. And we are going to continue at this time with lessons from King Asa. Please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Starting at verse 1, so Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the altars of the strange gods, and the high places, broke down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of the cities of Judah the high places and the images. These were all idolatrous things. You read about these high places and these images, and when you read in the Bible, the old King James, groves, wasn't a grove of trees. It's a statue to a false god. Verse 6, he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those days, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is left before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest. So they built and prospered. Verse 8. Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000 out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Asa prepared for war. And beloved, they tell us Christians should be peaceful people. They shouldn't fight. And all they should look for is peace, peace, peace. Do you know we're in a warfare? Every child of God is in a warfare. And that's sure not to be AWOL. Taking part in the warfare. Now, in warfare, one thing that's important, and in World War II, many of the soldiers did not know that. They didn't know who they were fighting. First place, they didn't know why they were fighting. And second place, they didn't know who the enemy was. Now, we are in a warfare, and we need to know who the enemy is. Who is this enemy of ours? Or better, I should say, enemies. James chapter 4. We find our enemies listed there. James chapter 4. Verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Enemy number one, lust, the flesh. Verse 4, enemy number 2. You adulterers and adulterers, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? That's enemy number 2, the world. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. You remember Demas? He forsook Paul because he loved this present world. The love of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we have the flesh and we have the world. Verse 7, enemy number 3, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. He's the third enemy. Now we're not talking about him today. But the Bible says resist him. You know what most people do? They run from him. You're not supposed to run from the devil. You're supposed to stand up there and resist him. And as we read in Ephesians 6, having done all, remain standing. Oh, that's a beautiful military picture, isn't it? Fight the devil and you finish with him and he's down and you're there. Now first let us consider the world as our enemy. You know, there's certain duties about the Bible. Years ago, in our surgical meetings, there was one fellow there, Nick Lothario. Lothario was a chest surgeon. And when he was going to present something, he said, "Oh, look, man, this gym, this is a gym. I want you to look at a gym with me. Look at a gym." Ezekiel chapter 14. There's a beautiful gym there. Ezekiel 14. Lovely little gem. Let's start at verse 12. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, "Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast." Gem number 1. Though these 3 men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it. Verse 16. Though these 3 men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither the sons of the God. These 3 men. To me, that's a beautiful gem. Noah, Daniel, and Job. Why not Moses, Joshua, and Hosea? They're 3 men. Noah. Victory over the world. Daniel. Victory over the flesh. Job. Victory over Satan. Now, isn't that beautiful? Do you know any other book with a gem within all? You know any book written like that? These 3 men, and they fit right in with our subject, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Shakespeare never wrote like that. Carlyle never wrote like that. Edgar Allan Poe never wrote like that. But my Lord, you know, that's why I like this book.
There's so many gems within the gem. These three men. Noah. Victory over the world. Let's look at the world a little bit. What is the world? I told you some time ago that on a Sunday I wore a red tie and a sister reprimanded me severely because she said it was worldly. Shouldn't wear a red tie. Our brother has a red tie. And I'm sure it's not worldly. How do you know the world when you see it? 1 John chapter 2. Three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. First John chapter 2. Enemy number one, the world. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? Because the world's an enemy. Now, for definition, all, do something with that word all that is in the world. Oh my. There are only three things in this world. And most people settle for one or two. Very few get all three. And what are the three? The lust of the flesh. The lust or cravings of the eyes. And the pride or vainglory of life. And that's all that's in the world. Three things. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the vain glory of life. Lust of the flesh. What I want. Lust of the eye. What I have. Vain glory of life. Who I am. That's all. And you know, they don't last long. When I was a young man, there was a fellow there called himself world heavyweight champion. I am the greatest. He's not the greatest today. That's what he thought of himself. The lust of the flesh. Appetite. What I want. You remember Samson? The lust of the flesh, and we will talk about that some more, got him in trouble. She pleases me well. And he ended up without his eye. Besides which, Joshua had warned them that if they associated and mingled with the world, they would eventually lose their sight. That's in the Bible. Samson knew it. His parents said, but why do you want to go with this ungodly woman outside of Israel? She pleases me. Well, me, myself, and I. That's the flesh. Another has defined these three. Appetite, that's the flesh. Possessions, oh, look all that I have. That's the lust of the eyes. Position, look who I am. Only three things. And sometimes they get the position and fall so low, they're sorry they ever had the position. Beloved, aren't you glad you're saved and know all these nice things? So you don't worry about Hollywood and those other people out there. I was about to say fools, but I won't. All those folks out there, thinking they're having a good time. Now, I hope we appreciate it. They're not having a better time than we had this morning. How many of us really believe that? We are having a better time now
when our brother ministered to us, and all their fun and pleasure and whatnot.
Pleasure. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes, possessions. And the vain glory of life, position. Look who I am. Lust of the flesh, sensualism. Lust of the eyes, materialism. Vain glory of life, egotism. I like this one. This one I got from Dr. Rolls. Lust of the flesh, bread. Lust of the eyes, bounty. Vain glory of life, bouquets. I hope you followed me on these. And that's all that there is in the world. Now let's look at a few examples of how these worked out. Genesis. Chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We know this well. And Satan knows how to get around human beings, you know. He knows what to offer them. Let's read. Start at verse 1. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now that's bad. Did God say you shouldn't eat of every tree of the garden? Where God puts a period, don't you put a question mark. God said if you eat, you're going to die. Now don't question it. Did God really say so? Did he mean it? When God says something, don't ask any questions. It's going to be his way. He always has the last word. There's a TV program in which the conductor always ends up with the last word. God has the last word. We read on. The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God said, In the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. Verse 4, Mr. Satan. The serpent said, You will not die. Oh my. And when we come to study Satan, we're going to find out this is one of his approaches. Absolute contradiction of everything that God says. If God says it, Satan says no. But we'll come to that. Oh, look at verse 5. God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. If you are as God, then you don't need God. Are they preaching that today? Sure they're preaching that today. You're a God. Everybody's a God. So if you're a God, you don't need God. This is the world, beloved. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, predesired to make one wise, the vain glory of life. Look who I am. When she saw those three things, and that's all that the world has to offer, she took of the fruit and did eat. And gave to her husband, and he ate with her, and that's why we're in such a grand mess in the world today. Disobedience to the word of God. Satan presented just three things. Food, good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and makes one wise. Luke chapter 4. All there is in the world, just three things. Luke chapter 4. Verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he was hungry.
I imagine any of us would be hungry if we didn't eat for 40 days, if we survived.
The devil, verse 3, said unto him, if you are the Son of God, again questioning God, command that this stone be made bread.
The lust of the flesh, food. We're anticipating a little, but we are here, we might as well look at it.
How did the Lord defeat Satan? How? Jesus answered him, saying, it is written.
You want to beat Satan?
Quote the Bible.
You run. And you get that in Ephesians. One of the arms that we have, pieces of armor, is the sword of the Spirit. And when you get that sword of the Spirit and you let him have it, he'll run. But we go on. The devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world.
Oh my, that's a lot, isn't it?
You talk about the lust of the eyes.
All the kingdoms of the world. Verse 6, the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. I'll give you all the world, all the kingdoms of the world, if you will fall and worship me. All is thine.
Oh my. And it's amazing what people fight for. Supposedly intelligent people. You know, those fellows that went to school and got all these degrees. It's amazing how foolish they are. I remember way back, this was in the 50s. I've told you this before. One physician bought a yacht. 28 feet long. The second one bought a yacht and his was 35 feet long. You mean, these are supposedly intelligent men. You think that they're acting like children. And the third one bought and his was 50. And finally one bought and said, I'm going to live on the water, in the yacht. I don't want to live on land. Supposedly intelligent people. The kingdoms of the world. Verse 8. Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan, it is written. Every time Satan approached him, he said, it is written, I go by the Bible. And beloved, if you want to defeat Satan, and we'll come to that, you go by the Bible. Quote scripture. You'd be amazed how Satan flees when he hears the word of God. That's why we need to learn it and memorize it. So that when the time comes and he comes at us, we say, give him the word. That'll stop it. We read on. Jesus answered and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Luke chapter 12. All that's in the world, all, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's all. Appetite, avarice, ambition. That's all there is in the world. And as I said, the majority of people never get all three. Most people get one. Some get two. Few get three. All that's in the world. Luke chapter 12, please. Verse 16. Luke 12 and 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." He was rich. All right? The lust of the eyes. Rich. I notice as I look at the television programs, they send me a sheet of the different programs. Who wants to be rich? Are you familiar with that? I mean, I've never looked at it. Who wants to be a millionaire? So many want to be a millionaire. This man was rich. He possessed much. Verse 17, he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. I, me, and I." Why am I? That's the flesh. That's the flesh. He said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." Self, me, mine, and I. I will say to my soul, verse 19, soul, you have a lot. You have a big bank account. You own a lot of land. Take your ease, be at ease. The vain glory of life. Take it easy. Have you ever thought of getting to the point where you don't have to get up in the morning to go to work, you just stay in bed as long as possible, have somebody bring you breakfast, then you take your shower, and then you get in that easy chair and be at ease? That's all the world has to offer. But you know the rest. Verse 20. God said unto him, "Thou fool." Now, in what sense was he a fool? He used intelligence. He had a lot of goods. So he said, "I'll build bigger barns." That's pretty good sense, isn't it? If you don't have enough room for what you have, you build bigger containers. You know what made him a fool? The fool says in his heart, "No God." He left God out completely, and that made him the fool. The world is an enemy. I like Philip's translation of Romans chapter 12. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't be that influenced by the world. Now, let me make something clear. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a home. The Bible teaches that you should have a home and you entertain in the home. You can't entertain in the home if you don't have one.
I smile because I think of something. It's amazing how people can misinterpret the word of God. You know that?
My father had 7 children, as he used to put it, a dog and a cat. Those were difficult days. Those were depression days, back in 29 and early 30s. Most of you don't know about those. When men were out there selling apples 5 cents apiece to support their families. I saw it. My father decided, the family is large. I can't house them in an apartment. I'll buy a house. And what do you think? Among God's people, Brother Garnes is worldly. He's buying a house. The Lord didn't say you shouldn't have a house. But don't set your affection on the house. I told you about the sister. I didn't like to visit her. Because when you went to sit down, she was brushing. And when you got up, she was brushing. And everything you touched, she was brushing. She didn't just have a home. The house was her idol. A home, a house, yes. But don't make it an idol. Now, how do you get victory over the world? How do you get victory over the world? With these 3 temptations, lust of eye, lust of flesh, and the pleasures of life. How do you get victory? 1 John, chapter 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world.
Are you overcoming the world? You're born again. Or is the Bible wrong?
Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. But it goes on to explain. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Trusting in God, looking to God, walking with God, walking in the fear of God, that's how you overcome the world with its temptations. To get more and to have more and to be more. Faith in God. Living as before God. And you know, that'll limit what you're supposed to have. That'll limit how big a house you have. That'll limit how many automobiles you have when you're trusting in God. You have 1 car and you need 2. Lord, I look to thee for the 2nd. But do you need the 3rd? Don't ask him for the 3rd because he's not going to give it to you if you don't need it. He will give you what you need. Faith in God. Let's see how this works. Turn with me, please, first of all, to Acts chapter 7. Faith overcomes the world. Acts chapter 7, verse 20. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him in, and nourished him for one of her own sons. Oh, please note this.
Please note the next verse. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and mighty in word and deeds. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. I was listening to a program recently. They still don't know how they built the pyramids, but Moses knew. He was learning all the knowledge. We have a branch of mathematics we call algebra. Do you know that Moses knew algebra? Where? All the learning of the Egyptians. They buried their dead, and those bodies are preserved from Moses' time up to today. We don't know how to do it. Moses did. All right? Hebrews chapter 11. Moses was quite a fellow, wasn't he? It's his faith that gives the victory over the world. We saw that he was the daughter, adopted daughter, of the queen's daughter. He was in the royal line. Well educated, a good speaker, though one time he told the Lord he didn't speak very well. Educated, learned, royal lineage. What more do you want? Would you like to be like that? Well informed, well educated, and with the upper rank in the upper class. That's what, you couldn't get higher than Moses was. Now let's read in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith. How do you overcome the world? By faith. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's command. That's his parents. Remember now, faith overcomes the world. Moses was well situated so far as the world was concerned. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I don't want to be in the royal line. How many of us will do that? You lined up to be president of the United States. Oh, I don't want it. How many of us would say that? By faith, Moses said that. Faith in God, trusting in God, and looking to God, he did not want the worldly portion. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And that's all it is, for a season. Those Hollywood people out there, don't be deceived by them and their artificiality. It's only for a season. And every week some of them die. Like everybody else. I remember years ago, was a little child. Do doctors die? Even doctors die. We all die. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. By faith. And that's how we overcome the world. By our trust in God. By our living before God. And we deny ourselves of all of these things that are offered to us. By faith, you overcame. I think the hymn number is 330. The world is an enemy. Take the world and give me Jesus. Now, beloved, we're going to sing it, but do you really mean it? You have a chance to get way up in the company. Way up. Earn a lot of money. Get a bigger home and have servants. When you sing, take the world but give me Jesus, do you really mean it? By faith, we overcome the world. Number 330.